Richard Spendlove, the creator, I think I can safely say, co-writer, and in fact, rather accidentally actor in Oh, Dr. Peachey. I'd been a railwayman for 35 years, and I'd started as a very junior porter, as it were, and moved up through the wages grades and became a station master in 1963, or 62, actually. As time went on, when I came into this part of the world as a station relief station master, I saw a lot of things that I thought could be mine for amusement. Particularly, we lived for a while opposite a signal box, which was manned by two signalmen who seemed to turn their hands to everything. The box effectively was almost a kind of currency. You could get your hair cut, you could get your bicycle mended, you could get your clock mended, you could buy your vegetables, you could get your cycle mended, you could get your hair cut, you could get bets put on. There was no end. They did everything, it seemed to me, except I think it was probably an irritation when they occasionally had a train, because they were doing other things along the way. But it was wonderful, really. And what I did, I mean, I was only about 24 then, but what I did, unconsciously perhaps, was to put all this in my back pocket and think, well, if ever I leave the railway, I might be able to use some of this. And the result of that was that eventually I did leave the railway and I became a broadcaster. During the time that I was the early part of my broadcasting, I actually encountered, among many other people, Geoffrey Holland. And eventually, one Saturday morning, this is absolutely true, one Saturday morning, I was sort of laying in bed and I thought, well, it's time I did something about this. So I rang Geoff Holland because I knew that he would have David Croft's telephone number. He very kindly gave it me. And I simply rolled over in bed and rang David and said, well, you don't know me, but I think I might have an idea for a situation comedy. And he said, I want to talk to you sometime. So he said, talk to me now. So I spoke to him on the phone for about 20 minutes, I suppose. And he said, can you come and see me on the Monday morning? Well, when somebody like David Croft says, can you come and see me? You tend to be inclined to walk there barefoot on broken glass because you're not going to get any better than him. So I went on the Monday and he said, we talked all day about it. And in the evening, he said, I want you to go home and write me a 28-minute script and post it to me. So I came home and I wrote a script of kinds and sent it back. And actually, on the Tuesday morning, I got a telephone call from him saying, well, you can certainly write North Country Dialogue. Come and see me again on Thursday. So I went back on the Thursday and we talked again. And by that time, I think it was fairly certain that something was going to happen. And I think the following Monday, we went back again and David was there and so was Jimmy Perry. My intention had been never to have anything to do with this, except to offer them the ideas, if you like. And I wanted Jimmy and David to do it. Well, anyway, Jimmy was there that morning, and he didn't seem overly keen on it. But anyway, later on in the week, I think it was, I had a telephone call from David to say that Jimmy didn't want to do it. Sadly, in my view. So he said, his words to me were, well, now, old love, he said, it's down to you and me. So that's actually, and of course, within, I don't know, probably another fortnight, the thing was commissioned. So that's about the start of it, I think. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was in the Severn Valley, of course. It was the along the side of the river, the River Severn. Beautiful location. There's no question about that at all. And the weather, of course, was what they tell me was Croft weather, which means it never rains. and it's all perfect, and pretty much it was as well. Beautiful weather, and it all took place at Arley Station, which of course became Hatley. And all the outside for the location, the greater part of the location where it was done there. Yes, the Sherry Houston, I think David wanted Sherry Houston to play the part. She at that time was involved with Coronation Street, and she was offered the part. And indeed, she played in the part in the pilot. But the truth of it was that Coronation Street wouldn't release her to carry on doing it. So therefore, Julia Deacon did it instead. I was actually in on the interview of Julia Deacon and indeed Stephen Lewis. And so she took over. So effectively, Sherry Houston was effectively replaced before anything happened except the pilot. Yes, I mean, that was the start of it, the fact that the Beechin had been seconded in to get rid of Arthur Station, it seemed at the time. And of course, that was made clear in the first episode. It was, of course, due to the Beechin cuts, and had the thing run on, I'm not sure what would have happened after that. I don't know whether the plan would have been to keep Hatley open or whether it would have been to close it. But the idea was that we should start from the standpoint that these jobs were all at risk. And indeed, that's how the thing began, really. He should never have stopped. The situation was that it was hailed by the BBC, not by me, as the highest rated comedy pilot of the decade. It was incredible. We were, I think, the first series, it was always 9, 10 or 11 million viewers, which was incredible, absolutely incredible. What happened with the second one was that there were two factors that slowed up the viewers a little bit, but nowhere near enough to justify taking it off, was that it was during the tennis season, Wimbledon, and also Diana, Princess of Wales, died. And the result of that was that every week it was on at a different time, sometimes BBC Two and sometimes BBC One, never at the same time, and very often not on the same day. So effectively, an audience which we garnered during the first season, which was really a very, very, very impressive audience, dropped away a bit because they didn't know where we were at all. And of course, on the basis of that, the BBC said, oh, people are not watching it. In actual fact, it's perhaps worth saying that even when the when the listeners were not watching it, we were still getting viewing figures of 5 or 6 million anyway, which was unheard of for a thing like that. So I don't know. I really don't know. It was a mistake. There's no doubt about that. Well, it's about a week at a time. By the time you'd finished with the rehearsing and the studio work. And then, of course, the location business was a different. They were done separately over in Worcestershire. Yeah. That came about again, really, by accident. I mean, as I said at the beginning of this, the only thing I ever intended to do, ever, was to pass these ideas to David and Jimmy and let them get on with it. That's all I wanted. But yes, I think we were about three episodes into the first series, and I then formed the opinion that there needed to be another character who was a sort of a foil between Paul Shane and Geoffrey Holland. And an inspector was obviously the thing to do. So I said to David, we need another character. And he said, well, what kind of character? I said, well, we need a district inspector. So he said, have you ever been a district inspector? And I said, yes. So he said, well, you better play him then. And that was my audition, I suppose you might say, for good or ill. I don't know. The rest of the cast would probably have a different view to that. But, anyway, I muddled through. And, yes, I can't remember how many I was in. I was in a few anyway, certainly. Well, they were all, I thought, extraordinarily kind to me. I'm bad to say that. Let me put it this way. For somebody who was a comparative novice, they looked after me. Let's put it that way. I don't think I shamed anybody. And they certainly took care of me, it seemed to me. And it seemed to me altogether, I mean, I'd not worked in that way with any of them before. I'd worked with Geoffrey Holland before in a slightly different way, and one or two others. But I don't know. It just seemed to me that that they all. I think it's probably because they'd all worked with David before, and on not you know on several occasions. It was almost like a family atmosphere, really, it seemed to me. I think probably one of the, there was a particularly, a memory of some pathos, which I didn't realise was going to happen. After we'd done the first series, we'd finished the first series, and before we left over there in Arley or wherever it was, I had a walk back down to the set when we'd finished the first series. And when I got down there, by then, the technical people had removed everything. Houses had gone, everything had gone, and it was just the railway station as it was when we arrived there. And it was an awful feeling, and absolutely. And when we came back, because my wife was with me, and when we came back, we were talking to David and Anne, and he said to me, "You're a bit down in the mouth." And I said, "Yes, a bit." And he said, "Have you been down to that set?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, never do it again." He said, because he said it will destroy you. He said, "You mustn't go back and look back at it like that." And it was an awful feeling, because all of a sudden, all that these good people had created down there, simply because I'd made that phone call that Saturday morning, was gone. There was nothing of it left, and it was incredibly, incredibly sad feeling. But so that's one of the memories, I think. Yeah. What do I do now? Well, you're asking at a very funny time, because I rather thought that I'd retired at 83, but I'm now not so sure, because I was talking to somebody yesterday who seemingly would like me to work for them again. So I don't know. I don't know what's coming next. Probably if you ask me in about a fortnight, I might know. But at the moment, I'm kind of waiting deliberations. But yes, I mean, I did the 35 years on the railway, the last five of which I was also working full time for the BBC as well. And I actually finished with the BBC in 2017. And then I worked for a while on an American-based radio station, because the one that I had on the BBC was apparently the longest continually running chat show in the history of broadcasting, I think, certainly of the BBC. And then in 2017, when I was, how old? Can't think now, knocking on a bit anyway, I decided, you know, we'd had enough of that. But now I'm not so sure. I don't know, as you asked me, I've got no idea. There might be some more to come. Thank you very much for having me.